NASA aims to put people on Mars someday, maybe in our lifetimes. When they land, what'll they do first? Whatever it is, it will probably need electricity. Only there's no grid on Mars waiting for Earthlings to plug in. That's where NASA's Big Idea Challenge comes in. Joining me with more, Robert Hodson, Deputy Program Manager for NASA's Game Changing Development Program. Mr. Hodson, good to have you on.
Hi, great to be here.
Now, you have put out a challenge and awarded four universities contracts or grants to get them to develop ideas for putting power on Mars. Tell us what's going on here.
We threw out a challenge problem to academia, basically to the university environment, for graduate and undergraduate students. And so, as you mentioned, you know, we need to basically power systems once we reach the surface of Mars. And so there's, you know, significant power requirements, you know, to have a habitat and, you know, charge various systems and life support systems and all of that. And so, you know, we threw the challenge problem out to the universities, and we actually had a number of responses, but we've down selected now to five universities, actually. And so what happens in this challenge is we give them a concept. In this case, we wanted them to produce about 40 kilowatts using solar electric power on the surface of Mars and have a concept that could deliver that in a fairly small package, because you got to land it, but then deploy it autonomously. So these arrays would be on the surface and there'd essentially be a power grid in place when we bring astronauts at some future date. In the challenge, the idea is put out there. We get a number of responses. We do a down select, and we're down to these final five right now. They all submitted a paper, which was reviewed by a panel of judges, both here at NASA, and we also had an industry partner this year reviewing the papers.
Sure.
And then these five teams will come out and pitch their ideas after refining them, and we'll down select to one university at the end. And those students will be awarded internships at NASA.
What are some of the ideas they came up with? Give us an example.
We had a lot of very interesting ideas. The finalists had a range of things. For example, one of the finalist teams was working with a balloon concept where you could use the carbon dioxide on the surface of Mars to fill balloons and float these arrays above the surface. And so there's deployment problems potentially on the surface, avoiding boulders and things like this. And this concept sort of avoided that. There's also dust-related issues. The farther you get from the surface, the less the dust problems are. And so that was a unique one. Another one used, again, the atmosphere on Mars to fill inflatable booms to support the structure that they were building on the surface. We had another team that used an origami concept, kind of like a flower where, you know, it's a very compact structure when it's stored, but it sort of unfolds into a large, you know, petal-like structure like a flower would. And so you could fit a large area, which you need for electric power generation, in a very small package, which you need to get off the Earth and eventually land on the surface of Mars.
So right now these are ideas, and at some point they'll make prototypes and show them to you for final selection?
Yeah, and some of the teams actually, you know, jumped in real early and did, you know, I wouldn't call them full-scale prototyping, but they did proof of concepts on some of them. I think the team that did that origami structure, if I remember correctly, their video had a little structure which they had put together already and showed how it would deploy. And so, but that's part of what we expect when they come out to work at NASA. The winning team will work on prototyping as well as refining their designs here with support from the NASA team here.
We're speaking with Robert Hodson, Deputy Program Manager for NASA's Game Changing Development Program. What are some of the other big challenges you've got out there for when people get to Mars? I imagine feeding them is one of them.
Yeah, and so you're right. Feeding the crew, the logistics of, you know, pre-positioning enough to keep the astronauts, you know, safe and fed and medically sound, you know, for a long duration mission on the surface. Requires, you know, life support systems, requires things for clean water. You have to have the structures that protect them from the radiation environment on the surface. You have to provide them with, of course, oxygen and the other things you need to survive. And so you can either pre-position all of that, material there and have it waiting ahead of time, but that has logistical issues with it, where you can try to, you know, use some of the resources on the surface and, you know, extract oxygen from the atmosphere of Mars and things like that. And you can also try to bring some food, but you could also try to grow food. And so there's a number of challenges to a Mars-class mission.
And what about the idea of a cosmic outhouse?
Yeah, you need something too. I mean, you have to still deal with waste in the Mars environment, just like you do on a space station. And so that has to be part of the overall plan.
And do you have some idea, I guess it's really early to ask this question, but if you were sending up these facilities to be ready and set up, I guess in some ways, if there's multiple facilities, they all have to coordinate in some manner so the power station doesn't end up 20 miles from the oxygen generator and so on.
That's a very astute point. There's two major challenges there in terms of the entry, descent, and landing aspect. You have to deliver large payloads because a structure to support five astronauts is not necessarily small. Right now, we have the capability of putting rovers the size of about a Mini Cooper down on the surface. And so you need to be able to put much larger payloads. So the entry problem of getting those large masses to the surface is still a challenge that we're working on. But the other point that you made is you have to have precision landing. So you have to place multiple deliveries basically within a drop zone, they have to be reasonably close to where you can use sort of rover technologies to bring them together if needed, or in the case of a solar array structure like these students are developing, you need to cable the power to where the habitat is. And so you need mechanisms to bring these pieces together to build sort of a colony.
And what is the timeline for all this? Just review for us when this first type of lift would even be contemplated. We're 20 years away or 10 years away, or how far away are we?
Well, it's hard to say because there are technical challenges that, like I said, still have not been solved yet. And, tech development is never a straight line. It goes in jumps, and, we don't know what types of advancements will be made in other areas that could accelerate or make it happen sooner. It's not going to be in the short term, and it also depends, quite frankly, on the direction that we get from Congress and from the administration in terms of where we're going to, where the United States wants to go and how that works in with international plans. And do we go and spend our resources on going to the lunar surface again first versus do we go directly to Mars? These are sort of high-level policy discussions that impact, when we'll eventually get to Mars also.
It sounds as if you are putting out these challenges and developing these technologies, even with that uncertainty, because you got to put your stake in the ground, no pun intended, at some point.
Well, yeah, I think there is, in my opinion, general agreement that we do want to eventually put humans on the surface of Mars. And many of these problems that we're trying to solve today with these challenges are, it's not something that you turn the crank and you have the answer in 3 to 5 years. Some of these are long-term investments that are going to take time to mature. And, you've got to get a start on these things early. And so we have a lot of those types of problems. Power and mass to the surface are two of the big ones that we talked about that I already mentioned. These are not simple problems to solve, and so we need to be working on them now, yes.
Bob Hodson is Deputy Program Manager for NASA's Game-Changing Development Program. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Tom.